what I'm working on. I'd like to talk about a project I started with Aurel Pujolas in NYU. It's almost everything done, so we hope to have a paper out soon. But we still have some other topics which has to be discussed. So it's still a work in progress. So the motivations. The first question one may ask is, have we said everything it was to say about Randall Sundin 2? Well, I hope we didn't. So there was no reason for me to do this work. So let's start to remind the knowns and unknowns about Randall Sundin. So what is known about Randall Sundin? The first motivation was hierarchy, and it was the original motivation of the model, so to solve a hierarchy problem in five-dimensional space-time with a brain, a localized brain, like a localized four-dimensional brain. And as you may recall, there is a tuning of the parameters, namely the tension of the domain wall is equal to the curvature of the ADS phi, and this is was for having a flat for the brain. So the first detuning people have started was to detune this condition. So detune Randall Sundin, and of course I have in mind Karch Randall, and where a mass gap appears. And actually another paper done by Shank, who is now in the University of Toronto, and Cavalazzi and me. Where we discover that in certain situation of the Q Randall Sundin, a DGP-like phase will appear. Moreover, is it known that Randall Sundin 2 is dual to a conformal field theory? So there is a conformal field theory dual. And when Randall Sundin 2 is a weakly coupled theory of gravity, the dual CFT is in a strongly coupled phase and with an explicit UV cutoff and is coupled to gravity. Those are the knowns, well, some of them. So what are the known unknowns? The most troubling question on Randall Sundin 2 is about black holes. So it's still unknown whether black holes are stable in Randall Sundin, so whether black holes will decay into the bulk and from a 4D perspective, they will evaporate in a different way than Hawking radiation. Or either if black holes can stick on a brain. So if it's possible to localize black hole on the 4D brain, or they will tend to escape anyway. About the stability of black holes, there is an argument, which is CFT derived. Which is that from a 4D perspective, so from the CFT dual, black holes are coupled to the CFT fields. And as you know, ADS-CFT is valid when the number of fields in the conformal field theory is big. This means that since the radiation is basically proportional to the number of fields that can be emitted by the black hole, in Randall Sundin, the black hole will radiate faster than in the usual four-dimensional GR. This means that in first approximation, the static solution is not valid anymore because the decay rate is much faster. So the black holes should be better described like dynamical objects. So the static solution is not a valid approximation anymore. But unfortunately, in Randall syndrome, there are no known solutions with black holes.
With static solution, you refer to the usual approximation of black holes. Black hole is considered as an even pair.
Yes, I meant that. Basically the classical solution. Quantum approximation.
Yeah. What do you mean by saying there is no solution? If there is this black string solution, do you find it?
No, I meant black holes. So. Point-like particles, right. Point-like objects.
No, it's localized on the grain, but it's a black string in the box.
Well, it's a black Seagull solution. That's a black Seagull solution, right? It's
Seagull?
Looks like a cigar.
What I meant with black holes are usual black holes, namely a point spherical object sticking
stuff. Symmetry also on the bar.
Yes.
Five dimensional,
both five and four dimensional. So yeah, from there.
But otherwise, you're right. The solution I think was first found by Hawking, and then.
Black string is the real solution.
Probably this cigar shape.
Yeah, but exactly. With black holes, I meant black holes also in five.
Fully spherical symmetric.
Fully spherical symmetric. So, as I said, there are no known exact solutions in this case. So, what we thought to have a hint on the dynamics of a black hole in Randall syndrome 2 is to consider easier objects. And usually those are extended solutions like cosmic strings or domain wall. And with extended object, I mean extended object completely localized on the brain. So let's say a domain wall embedded on the brain, which is itself embedded into ADS5. The domain walls, since it will be the topic of my talk, are interest per se, because they, as pretty much every object on Randall syndrome 2, they have both a codimension 1 and a codimension 2 behavior. Basically, a domain wall from a 5D perspective will appear like a cosmic string, so it will develop a density angle. But from a four-dimensional perspective on the brain, it will appear like a usual domain wall. So it doesn't gravitate in the sense that it doesn't curve the space-time, but it is the sitter 3 on the domain wall. And we'll talk about this in greater detail later. What I want to discuss is the exact solution of those, and since the object, I think it was arised by Randall, about the stability of the black hole, is about the radiative correction. On the CFT side, I will discuss also it's the interest of the radiative CFT corrections of the domain wall. So the plan of the talk is First, I will describe the exact domain wall solution and the differences with the usual four-dimensional one. As we will see, the presence of the domain wall will appear, will change the behavior of the domain wall dramatically. And a sort of singularity will appear. Later on in the talk, I will describe also the CFT radiative correction. And how they are related to the DST. side of the theory. So let me remind you what is a domain wall in usual four-dimensional GR. So as a prelude, domain wall in 4D. The exact solution was found by Vilenkin, Ephraim, and a third if I don't remember now. So as I said before, domain walls don't gravitate, so they will not curve the space-time. But instead, the tension of the domain wall will induce an expansion rate on the domain wall work volume. And the expansion rate is linear with the tension. This is a known result, and the four-dimensional space-time is given by big psi squared plus r squared psi ds4 k squared, where this is usual decimal 3, ds3, and r of psi is equal to where h is the Sigler curvature, so the expansion rate of the domain wall on its own work volume. So I want to emphasize this relation. So in usual four-dimensional GR, the expansion rate of the domain wall is linear in the tension of the domain wall. And as we will see, this relation will change dramatically in Randolph syndrome. So, let me describe the setup of the gravity side of the theory, which is usual Randolph syndrome with a domain wall localized on the brain. So the action is given. Usual action in the brain minus h domain wall b with x. So this is just to fix the convention. So with tau, I will mean the tension of the brain, and with sigma, the tension of the domain wall. And lambda, or as I will use later, L, is the curvature of the of anti-de-sigma 5. So apart from the domain wall, the solution is the usual ADS5, so it's known. And this is PS5 FR 2 plus FR plus square, where kappa can be 0, 1, minus 1, either flat, the theta, or the theta. And this coefficient F of R is given by kappa plus r squared divided by r. To describe the brain in anti-de-Sitter phi, what we can do is to parameterize the brain in the ZD in ZR space. So brain will be basically trajectory on the ZR plane. And so the four-dimensional geometry on the brain will be given by epsilon a prime squared plus epsilon this side plus r squared ds. So this is basically of the same form of the usual four-dimensional geometry. And by gauge fixing, I can fix this coefficient to be equal to 1, which will basically fix the dependence of z in respect to r. And I will have to solve only for r in the equation of motion. So let's solve the equation of motions, which are the non-extrinsic curvature. Is equal to q t mu nu minus h mu nu. Okay. This is the equation of motion of the domain wall in antidesita phi. And this is equal to, along the domain wall, is equal to q per root of f over x prime squared divided by equal tau. And perpendicularly to the domain wall, so the CC component is equal, once I'm integrating out minus epsilon from the domain wall. Basically, I'm integrating out across the domain wall. This is arctangent of 0 prime square over 4 over 0 times as it prime square. And I want to notice that r has to be continuous as usual, but r prime is not usually continuous, and it will not be. Okay. So far so good. Okay. So what we have to do is solve just this differential equation.
Excuse me, can you describe what's the geometry inside and outside the main wall?
So inside the outside the main wall.
Yeah, inside geometry.
Mm-hmm. So basically, here you have the random ascending drain, and this ADS5, two patches of ADS5, across the brain. And you have a domain wall localized on the brain. It's flat. Outside the domain wall, and is DS3, sorry, the sitter, three-dimensional the sitter on the domain wall.
Is your domain wall flat or spherical?
The domain wall? Oh, it's flat, in the sense that it's localized on a certain position of the brain.
Yeah.
From the point of view of four dimensions, is it expanding sphere?
From the point of view of the four dimension, is like a wall. So it's exactly in a certain position.
Flat wall.
It's flat, exactly. But on the wall volume of the domain wall itself is expanding. So probably it's better to describe it with Poincaré diagrams. So if this is Minkowski, a domain wall is it's a hyperbola. It's like a ring. Actually, as it can be seen from here, this is basically a cutting a ring of space time at the point of the domain wall and taking only the bulk. And the bulk is this piece here.
And those two conditions, these are Israel junction conditions?
Yes, those are Israel junction conditions. Basically, it's all this. Solving the extrinsic curvature in terms of the matter constant.
Like that along the
Yeah, and you have to divide your spectra if it's along the domain wall, so it's in on the word volume of the domain wall, or is it perpendicular to the domain wall, so the domain wall will give a jump of the derivative prime of this R.
Excuse me, what happens in the neighborhood of the break of the domain wall in the bulk geometry? I think from the viewpoint of the bulk, it's
on the
bulk. Correlation to object, right? From the bulk viewpoint.
Yes, I will describe it later. So I will give an exact picture. This is just pictorially to know where it is, but I will describe the exact geometry. So. So solution for the first equation, so for this, is r of psi equal to minus 5 psi by 1 over h, where this 1 over h at this time is just a constant of integration. And the Israel junction condition is arctangent modulus the prime square root of f for 0 times 0 squared equal sigma 4. Thank you. But I just use the fact that the tangent is an odd function. And this plugging R in here, it will give a relation between H and sigma. So the expansion rate is not anymore linear on the tension of the domain wall, but it goes like a tangent. So for small tensions, small in respect to m cubed, where m is the five-dimensional Planck mass, it gives the same behavior as the usual 4D. But when it will be of the same order of m cubed, it will departure significantly.
So it saturates.
It saturates. It's a dramatically different. Well, it depends what you mean by saturate. There is a singular behavior.
We'll
saturate, I mean this, so it will.
There's a maximum tension.
Yeah. Basically, as it can be seen easily by just plotting the function, if this is sigma in respect to n cubed, and this is HL. The usual four dimensional is just a straight line, HL for D. In this case, instead, it will have an asymptote on a certain sigma critical, and it will diverge at that point. So as you can see, it's dramatically different. So just embedding the brain, so four-dimensional brain, into a five-dimensional space-time will change the behavior of the expansion rate of the domain wall quite a bit.
But you probably don't trust the divergence.
I will not trust, of course. It's either you say that at a certain point the expansion rate will be of the same order of n Planck, so it's you don't trust your classical theory anymore, so you have to take into account quantum gravity effects, or even without considering quantum gravity effects, you say that the domain wall, here I'm approximating the domain wall to be a thin domain wall, so it's thin wall approximation. Of course, usual domain walls are not thin objects, but they have a certain thickness, so it's a sort of something like this, with a certain fixed delta. And at the point where H is comparable to delta, the behavior will be dramatically different.
But you understand physically why at the fixed tension you get a faster expansion rate on the domain wall? So at fixed sigma, you get a larger expansion rate that you would have in 4D. Why does the 5D do that in some way?
Because it's not changing the global structure of the space-time. No, it doesn't change the global structure. I mean, it's still... Well,
In the case of, I'm just thinking in the case of other streams in a four-dimensional space-time, you can actually, you start folding the space-time.
It's basically the same effect. I will describe now the geometry in more details. So the geometry in the Z R plane is not that of a flat array with a domain wall, a flat domain wall, but it's instead something that resembles a pancake, or something like this. This is the brain. Here you have your domain wall, and here the bulk. So the bulk is inside this pancake. Okay. And as you can see from here, there is a deficit angle, beta, which is sigma cube. As for a usual two-dimension two object, you have a deficit angle. And when it saturates, so with saturation, I mean sigma is sigma critical, this quantity is pi half. So the deficit angle is exactly the same. The pancake is not anymore a pancake. It's just a point collapsing on the domain wall. So the bulk is shrinking. Basically, it's folding in a certain sense. And you don't have a bulk anymore. So this infinite, this singularity for the tension is just because the bulk disappears and everything is inside the domain wall. Is it clear? Basically, okay, if you have this beta, so a certain sigma, for a greater tension, what you have is something like this, a beta angle, and a smaller ADS phi volume, and so on. At a certain point, beta will be so big that you cannot see the bulk anymore. And this is completely classical. I'm not assuming quantum gravity effects. Total classical effects. In fact, I mean, I can start categorize just assuming that the domain wall has a certain thickness. So when the volume of the DS5 is the same order of the thickness, you cannot talk anymore about a thin domain wall with a bulk, but you have to consider what is inside the domain wall. And so what we expect is a certain amount of saturation, so something like this, but this is just an hypothesis. We have no exact model to solve for that. So far, this is completely only gravity, classical GR, and nothing about what we know is dual to random sampling to, namely the CFT, the conformal field theory. So what we know is that random sampling two is dual to the conformal field theory with a cutoff, UV cutoff, and it's coupled to gravity. And you assume n squared to be whatever is the number of fields to be, much bigger than one. So it's a large color number approximation. So my relation between H and sigma is this trigonometric relation, which for small sigma I can approximate. So let's take the arctangent. So sigma divided by n, 4 equals arctangent of HL. And I can approximate for small curvatures to be HL 1 minus 1 third HL squared. So this is the usual three-level effect. So this is completely classical also on the surface side. But we assume this is to be an effect coming from radiative correction of the conformal field theory. So what we want to know is to trace the correction and to see what kind of operator generate those kind of correction. The ultimate goal will be to see whether this singularity has anything to do with the conformal field theory, whether the classical three-level result departs significantly from what we have evaluated, or no. So what we want is to know what is the operator for this one. So the first idea is just to use W result and to do the same computation that W did for Randall-Sandrum 2, but now with an extended object. So as a review, what W did was to consider the classical graviton propagator, three-level graviton propagator, and to consider the first loop correction. And what they assumed was a source, which was a point particle. And by evaluating the first loop correction, they found the correction 1 over r cube of Randall-Sandrum, of the graviton propagator, of the Newton potential. So what we want to do is to do the same, but now with a domain wall as a source. So sigma, so T mu is 1 minus 1 minus 1, 0. And this is localized. This is a localized object, and I am in the momentum space. So this is the graviton propagator. Propagator is equal to the classical propagator plus a first loop correction, which is known to be of this form. P1 eta where pi 1 and pi 2 are the first loop correction from a CFT. And just from general ground, just knowing that this is a conformal field theory, I know already that pi with respect to p will go like a log of t squared. And AI log T squared. So here there is nothing new, it's just the usual Duffield computation. And I know what are these coefficients, and those are related to the number of fields present in my field theory, in my conformal field theory. Let me just revise the important piece. So now we do the integral, so we fully transform the propagator, and what we found is that the correction to the metric is theta AD plus P1 plus I didn't fully transform yet. Where A and B are 0, 1, and 2. And the correction for the ZZ component for the side is minus beta. also written in another way, so now do the Fourier transform. And this is beta. Which is sigma z. And this is another coefficient beta, g squared sigma divided by z. So it appears that alpha, this coefficient alpha, when you consider n equal 4 of superconformal field theory, is exactly 0. So there is no correction of the metric on the word volume of the domain wall. And so the only correction is on the component perpendicular to the domain wall, so on this component. But as you can see, this goes like 1 over z. So this is only a gauge artifact, namely it can be gauged away. So what we found, and what it was actually surprising, was that the first loop correction of the Graviton propagator will give no correction at all. So basically, either we have to go to higher loop or to find another way to evaluate the correction, because we know there are some corrections. And actually can be seen also from here. This correction goes like h squared, so it goes like sigma to the sigma squared. But that value computation, so first loop correction, goes like the mass of, or sigma, so it's linear in sigma. So we cannot trace any correction from this point of view. So what we can do now is to consider actually the origin of this correction from a conformal field theory point of view. As it is known, the presence of a regularization on this conformal field theory will break explicitly the conformal field theory. So it's present a conformal anomaly. And this conformal anomaly can be computed. And if you consider this conformal anomaly to be another source tensor, we may be able to find the correction h So to trace the idea is to evaluate the conformal anomaly. If you use a thin wall approximation, you have to consider the wall as a boundary. So you are in trouble to consider what boundary condition for fermions or for scalar or for vector fields you have to consider. So an easier way to compute this conformal anomaly is to use basically Starobinsky inflation, so anomaly-driven inflation. So the domain wall is now thick domain wall. So we regularize the domain wall. We assume the conformal field theory conformal fields only couple gravitationally to the domain wall, and moreover, gravity is almost decoupled. Namely, the bulk of the theory is almost completely decoupled from conformal field theory. So basically, we almost have two different sectors: the domain wall, which is only coupled to gravity, and the conformal field theory. So the operator is the relevant part of the operator is this. And these are still the same part of the geometry. So we evaluate this operator in our classical theory. And the correction is equal to 4/3 h cubed divided by h zero squared. H cubed is still the expansion rate of the domain wall. And 1 over h squared depends on the conformal fields given by this or equivalent. where K3 is a sum of the fields of the conformal field theory. And using n equal 4, the correction is exactly minus 1/3 h squared. So basically, we have these pretty surprising results, which is 1/3 is equal to 1/3. This is sort of surprising, because I was not expecting such an agreement of the conformal field theory with the gravity side. The reason is that since I'm assuming the gravity side to be weakly coupled, the conformal field theory is strongly coupled. So in this computation, I don't say anything about the interaction of the fields, of the conformal fields. And still, I find a 100% agreement with the two computations. We suggest that there are some kind of non-renormalization theories to evaluate this conformal anomaly. And this may be the same effect one would usually have, that our perspective of anomalies is an UV effect, but it's instead an infrared effect. And actually, as when you evaluate the anomaly is totally a topological effect, where E is the Euler density, and I is the vice tensor square, which in our case is eccentricity. So as we see, the anomaly is only a topological effect. So this is one reasoning to see that our computation is correct first, and that the agreement may be expected. Actually, this disagreement was noted firstly by Skenderis when he did the first computation of the conformal anomaly in ADS-CFT, because he found, as we did, an exact agreement. And everything was kind of surprising, because you have an interactive field theory and you use only free fields approximation, and still you find the exact agreement. It should be noted also that this computation is valid only when ADS-CFT is valid. And this means that when the curvature scale, so h, is much less than the curvature scale of the PSI. So this agreement is valid only in this approximation. I may extrapolate that this is true for all loops, but at that point, I'm not certain whether ADS-CFT is still valid or not. What I wanted to say is that the singularity that we see as sigma goes to sigma critical may be not there in the field theory side, because the singularity appears when HL is order 1. The singularity appears when HL is order 1. At that point, ADS-CFT cannot be trusted anymore. So the singularity may be there, maybe not. So
HL is infinite at the singularity?
The HL is different, yes, because it goes like a time. It's infinite, it's exactly infinite. But from the field theoretical point of view, we cannot say. So there are maybe some other correction, like strongly coupled or. But still, this this expansion can be trusted whenever HL is much less than 1. So let's stick on HL much less than 1 and see that the corrections of sigma goes like H1 plus HL squared plus HL to the 4th, and so on. So we wonder what are those other corrections, because we are able to calculate only the first loop with the conformal anomaly. The suggestion we have is that those corrections are the usual correction one may expect from quantum gravity. Namely, when you consider a gravity theory, which is coupled, let's say, at certain scale, the Planck scale, you expect some correction, some operators which goes like the curvature, this is not the curvature, this one, divided, suppressed by the cutoff, so the Planck scale. And we assume these operators may be the same operators, namely these corrections, because they go in the same way. And they go like h0 to n plus 1. And this is only a suggestion, but since this agreement from the first loop computation, since we found this nice series for the correction, and since we expect higher derivative operators suppressed by the UV cutoff, we suggest that those operators may be there. Of course, the correction, so the coefficient may be different, may be involving the tough coupling. And actually, what we find is that we find only at planar level. So the correction are going only as n squared. We cannot see anything, any correction, non-planar correction from the series, which is just usual. Any questions so far?
This is probably a stupid question. If you reduce this HL to the n plus 1, why are you giving only even numbers then?
Sorry, say again?
If that's H to HL to the n plus 1, why are you giving only even numbers?
Because I forgot the 2.
Oh.
Sorry. Yeah, because. Yeah, because the curvature goes h squared.
True,
so no, h squared. So,
I think that helped the things themselves.
So what now? Now what we want to do is to extend this computation, Dynamic Randolph syndrome, changing the geometry of a DS5. The nicest correction we can consider is, so I said that this FR goes like 1 plus S squared. Actually, that is the correction one can add, and this is this R squared, namely ADS5, ADS partial. And the first computation we have, so basically solving the geometry, is that in this case, in RS2, putting a domain wall is optional. Namely, RS2A was done without a domain wall, and everything was fine. In ADS partial, putting a domain wall is mandatory. The point is that when you compute the geodesic of the brain in ADS partial, you find that the geodesic goes something like an onion and intersects itself. So at this point, you have to put a domain wall, because you don't want the geodesics to cross itself. As you. So this is kind of surprising. We were not expecting to have this kind of feature in ADS partial. Actually, the reason is that the easiest position to put a brain, which is just to put a brain perpendicular to this direction, so a constant distance from the bubble of nothing, this is unstable and it decays. So the only stable solution is to tilt the brain, and tilting the brain, you have to put a domain wall. And basically, this is to equate the energies. So the energies coming from the curvatures, the tension of the domain wall, and the tension of the brains.
Oh, sorry, a stupid question. Why aren't geodesics crossing?
Yeah, they may not. So they, but it appears when you do all the computations, it does. The point is that this.
Is it weird?
Huh?
Is it weird?
Yes. It is weird.
But there's space lag, right? No.
There's brain.
There.
Oh. Yes, but the point is that this geometry, so the edge partial, there's a conical singularity. So this direction, which is the z direction, has to be compactified to remove the conical singularity. And the position of the brain, so if so this direction, the polar direction, is the z component. And if you integrate and you integrate Z in respect to the solution for R, so the solution for the brain, what you find is that this component goes to infinity. Namely, at a certain point, it intersects itself. It's a property of the solution. And
I'm very confused. So you're saying, okay, ADS Schwarzschild in the bulk, and then you put some
and they put that right. Yes.
But I know a very fine solution where you just, the brain emerges from the singularity and crosses the horizon, goes back in, and hits the future.
Oh, yeah, but they don't want to put the brain on the singularity. They want to put it in a different position. Yeah, sure.
So
you can put it here, and it's exactly this. This geodesic. But if you don't want to do this, and you want to put a certain distance from the singularity, you have to put the domain wall.
So if you have the brain and the finite distance from the singularity, you can do the domain wall that regularizes geodesic crossing?
This is basically what I'm saying. Basically, I'm hiding.
Can you show us on the Venom diagram? No, but it's quite simple, right? It's this thing, it looks like it looks like a square, and then singularities on top and bottom, and then
it's not right really that the geodesics are cosmic. It's just the geodesic getting cosmic solutions is telling you that this is an unstable configuration.
Yeah.
Geodesics aren't really applying, right?
Yes.
The space time is dynamic.
But if
there's
I want
a lot of
to
say we're crossing. They're only crossing if you hold the brain fixed by hand.
Yes.
But they wouldn't stay fixed.
Exactly. But the point is that I want a solution with a fixed brain. Mm-hmm. So if I want
So you just put on the brain.
And then we have to put the domain wall
to hold it there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, instead if
where does it have to go? Where does the domain wall have to go? I'm sorry. Maybe
in the case when I'm not fixing, so
whenever you want to fix it, where do you have to place the domain?
It depends on the tension.
But is it on the brain? Is it on in the bulk?
So you have this, which is, let's say it's like a seagull. It's on the surface of the seagull.
But the domain wall is actually wrapping?
Yeah, it's wrapping. Exactly. Oh, yeah, sorry. Maybe this is misleading. It's not, yeah. I'm sorry, this is misleading. It's not that the domain wall is inside the bulk. Well, but it's not the bulk. The domain wall is on the surface of the DS5, and the DS partial. The geometry. It's bidimensional geometry. But OK, we can discuss it later. Actually, I don't have. I wanted only to sketch it to see what I was doing. And actually, the interest of doing this kind of solution is that on the CFT side, the compactification of the Z direction can be equated to a thermal energy. So we'll have a thermal conformative theory. So some excitation of the conformative theory are, so some fields of the conformative theory are excited. And what we want to do now is to compute the Casimir energy and see if there is an agreement. But this is still completely in progress. So I want just to wrap up with what I started. So I started with saying that I was interested to know whether the black holes are stable or not. And I end up describing the main wall. So what about the black holes? The reasoning was to analogy. So I cannot solve exactly the black hole, super completely spherical symmetric black hole on the brain. So I did with an extended object because the solution is much easier. And what I find is that the solution changed dramatically for what I'm expecting from a four-dimensional point of view. Changed dramatically, and there is a singularity that appears. So there is a critical density above which I cannot put a domain wall. So what about, by analogy, I may expect the same to be true for a black hole. So the presence of conformal field theory would change dramatically the behavior of a black hole. But to what extent, I cannot say, because I have to trust ADS-CFT when ADS-CFT is valid, and this is only when HL is much less than 1. And the correction with usual four-dimensional solution goes like 1 over n, so it's really small. It's really tiny. So the departure from the usual four-dimensional solution, and if I want to say anything for the black hole, at this level, it's only speculative.
Does your relation, that came from junction condition, right? This HL, that, does it change in English?
Yeah, it changed.
But it's still some
critical critical density. Now it's a little bit more involved because you have to impose the compactification of the of how the brain is wrapping around. Mm-hmm. And so basically you can see because I have a free parameter, which is RS, which is not free. And it's fixed by the tension of the domain wall itself. And this RS, at first approximation, is the position of the brain. But on top of my head, I don't remember the solution. Actually, it's quite important.